Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on the old bravs. I'm Ronnie, and that's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie, what's up?
Nothing. What you doing?
I'm just like getting ready to dive into Below Deck Sailing. Excited to be here to be podcasting with you. I've had a very suspenseful past several hours.
Why?
Well, you may not have seen this, but on my Instagram story, I've been documenting my little garden that I've been growing. I got a garden box. I named it Gail, which felt good. And
feeding it.
How dare you? How dare you
change its patterns?
Gail just takes so much soil. Bless her heart. I've been doing my gardening, and that's just already a base level of stress because I feel like everything's gonna die. But the real level of stress is that I have this in a little plastic pot. I have some rosemary, and over the weekend I discovered something really strange was growing in it. And at first I thought it was like a wasp nest, so like I like jumped back because I picked up the planter. I was going to take the rosemary out of it and put it into Gail. And then I was like, oh shit, there's like a wasp nest in there. But then I realized no wasps were coming out. So then was it a fungus? What? It was like, it was actually very scary. And then finally last night on Twitter, people were like, Ben, I think that's a mud dauber's nest. I was like, what's a mud dauber? Which is, it's a wasp. And it turns out I had seen one of them like a few days ago. And I was like, oh my God, I actually do have a wasp nest in there. So I'm like, I don't want a wasp nest in my rosemary, which is, by the way, that sounds like the most like first world problem. There's a wasp nest in my rosemary. So then I was like, I'm just throwing the whole thing out. So then I had to go up there with a hefty bag, and I like flung the hefty bag over the rosemary as if I were like kidnapping it and putting it into a van. I like flung this bag over the rosemary, then had to like slide it under it and then like twisted it so nothing could come out if it were going to come out. And I had to like bring it out to the trash. And the entire thing took a huge emotional toll on me because I do not like to manhandle wasp nests, but I did it, everyone. I'm not even sure there were wasps in there.
Oh my God, Ben. Okay, Ben, I'm going to have to tell you this. I'm telling you this as someone who loves you deeply, okay? And yes. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I love you.
Yes.
If you're going to garden, you're going to need to man the fuck up, okay? Gardening is not for the weak. It's not just for old ladies and, like, funny hats, okay?
No.
It's for strong-ass people. Vegetables are disgusting. They're grown in shit, okay? You got to go. That's why everything is a weapon that you use in gardening, okay? There's those, like, multi-knife prong things. And, yeah, everything can murder someone. You know why? Because gardening is a goddamn jungle, Ben. All right?
Yes. Well, I mean, I did man up. I literally put a wasp nest in a bag. Don't tell me to man up. I did it. I manned up. Although
I know, but you killed all that beautiful rosemary that you were growing because of the stupid wasp fear. You know what you do? You say, I'm not afraid of you, you goddamn wasp. And you go in there and you put a glove on and you dig that shit out and you get rid of it. Throw that over the balcony. You just murdered an innocent caterpillar last week and threw it over the balcony like a mafia boss. And that's then the wasps, that. You're like, oh, you know, let me give you a nice first-class trip down to the dumpster.
No, I treated the wasps. I treated the wasps like a full-on. I mean, I basically am like a mafia gardener, right? The caterpillar over the balcony, that really has captured a lot of people's attention. Like, I've gotten a lot of – no one's angry at me. But a lot of people seem to be like weaving that tale into every tweet. Like, oh, Ben, you know, for someone who likes Summer House, you sure had no problem throwing a caterpillar over the edge. It's like, wait, that doesn't even make sense. But the point is this, the rosemary is unfortunately gone. I'm not fucking with a wasp nest. So that's what I've been through. That's all my way of saying, if you want to endure something way less harrowing than getting rid of a wasp nest, I suggest you all come to our live show on May 6th, where we're going to be recapping the season premiere of Real Housewives of New York. And you can go to onlocationlive.com/watchwhatcrappens or just come to our website. Get tickets. It's going to be at like 6 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And we always have so much fun when we do these virtual shows. The whole community comes together. people, you can chat on the actually on the software of the show. You can chat on Facebook. It's really great. Everyone, it's so fun to bring the whole Crappens family together for these things. We always have a blast. We can't recommend it highly enough, and so I don't want anyone to miss out. So come join us, and we're gonna have the best night ever.
Yes. All right, everybody. Welcome to Below Deck Sailing Yacht. Okay. Here's my big question for the episode. Will Gary ask creepily for a hug? Okay. That's all I want to know. Do you need a hug? Can I give you a hug? You look like you need a hug.
By the way, I learned that one from Carl.
Yeah, you know he's going to hang out with that group of Bravo douchebags. Like all the Bravo douchebags hang out together, and Gary will definitely have a spot at that bar.
Every time Gary every once in a while I have a moment where I say, you know what, Gary is sort of a creep, but I do like, I don't know, maybe I like him. Like sometimes I'll have a moment where I'll think like he's actually pretty good at his job, and he really is on top of shit, whatever. And then I'm just like, fuck Gary. Fuck him. He's like, he always does something where I'm like, no, I take that away. I rebuke it.
Well, I'm wondering if the executives are sitting around like, you know what we need? More Gary's ass. Like, did anybody see Gary's ass and think, wow, I really need more of that zitty, pasty, you know, artwork in my brain? Do I need that? Yeah. I don't need that. Okay. We can stop starting every episode off with Gary's pasty ass. Okay. That's just a request from me. Thanks.
Also, I realized this episode that I love Danny. Like, I've always really liked her. And I've always loved how when she waits on the guests, she masks her frustration and rage behind that pleasant smile. Like, you just know she's passing so much judgment. And I love that about her. And then this episode was the one where I was like, yes, I love Danny. Danny is like, I'm 100% team Danny for now. And I also realized I think I hate Allie. How about that?
Wow. I don't really have feelings that strong about anyone.
Yeah, I got strong feelings.
I'm more of a milquetoast kind of viewer for this one. But Danny, in our predictions episode, I was guessing that Danny was going to be way bitchier, because I know a lot of Brazilian girls, and they're not bitchy at all, actually. They're all really nice. But man, they've got some fire there. There's a lot of fire. And no one's really pissed her off. And so I've thought, well, maybe that's just in my head, or, you know, but then she got pissed off. So I really did appreciate that.
Yeah, and Allie, I like last week we got the first inkling to me that Allie was a little bit of a snot. I always thought she was like this just this nice, like, dippy girl. And then last week when she was like, Jael, I'm sorry for waking you up, but you also, I didn't like the tone you had with me. We're like, what? And then this week I was like, oh, so you're kind of a popular mean girl, actually. That's what I've just discovered about you, Allie. And therefore, you are on my shit list.
Well, guess what? Guess who else was on a shit list? A poor cake. Okay, it got killed in the end. So let's start all the way at the beginning. We're with Frank Martini and his classy, classy crew. Frank, his boys, and Amanda, the trophy wife.
Amanda.
Hey, I'm the trophy wife.
I am Amanda. I'm a trophy wife. You can find me at Straps, etc., your number one destination for getting dresses made exclusively of straps.
Yeah. So it's the second day of charter, and Natasha is passing Daisy in the hall, and she's really mad at her because, I forgot, was this because Daisy
was like
fewer or lower portions, smaller portions or whatever?
I just have a little constructive criticism. Could you make the portions a little smaller? They're having a wee bit of a trouble eating them all. Please, just some constructive criticism.
No. And Gary's like, well, she woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Would you like a hug?
So Natasha's all pissed. And she's like, you speak asshole? Then I will speak asshole. I will speak your language back. So, and she's like, the guests ask for extravagance, and the guests are getting extravagance. What the fuck do you want? I was like, I love how angry she is right now.
Yeah, she's going off to Danny, who's like lying in bed, and Danny points outside because everyone's basically standing in the hall listening to Natasha and laughing at her. Mm-hmm. So then we go to Daisy and Allie, and Daisy's venting about it too. And she's like, I'm sick of hearing what an incredible chef she's, Ollie. She welcomes no feedback. It's like opening the check at the end of a meal and it says feedback and then has a little middle finger sticking up at you. She doesn't want it. She doesn't want the feedback.
And Daisy, of course, spins it like she was just really being a very helpful person. She's like, I said I just want to give you some constructive criticism about last night. And she was like, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah, and this fight, everybody is pretty much over eggs over easy in hollandaise sauce.
Yes.
Which is what makes this show perfect every time. So then Colin and Gary are talking about...
I just want to say one thing here. Daisy also says, she goes, Natasha's fueled with insecurity. Any chef would welcome feedback. I'm like, have you watched Top Chef? Yeah. There's 0.03% of chefs would welcome feedback.
Yeah, at the Moroccan restaurant I used to work at, the last place I worked at, there was no feedback, okay? He'd be like, hey, here's what the guest said. And he'd say, fuck them, fuck you, get the fuck out of here, and throw things at your head, okay? So...
I think we all know the way to give chefs feedback is to ask them a rhetorical question and make them feel like idiots. Like, did you mean to serve the over easy eggs as scrambled, you idiot? Works every time.
Well, as a chef, I really enjoy feedback. No, Gail, you enjoy being fed. All right, we're having a different discussion.
Gail enjoys being fed in the back, which is very different from feedback. Bless her heart.
Not feedbags, Gail.
Natasha, how was today for you? Did you cook the over easy eggs and scrambled again like a commoner? Did you?
So the guys are getting ready to do poker night, and Sydney's got like the full face of makeup on, which just looks crazy on a below deck cast member because you're not used to seeing it, right? And it reminds me of my little niece going to do cheerleader competitions. It's like 9-year-old girls with tons of makeup and these big fake lashes. And I don't know why, but that's all I was thinking of when I saw her. I was like, stop trying so hard. But then I remembered she was doing it for their special casino night. But there's something about her just like trying to hang on Gary with that, you know, clown makeup on at the same time. I'm like, oh, Sydney, stop making me so sad, Sydney.
Okay. I noticed, this is going to sound annoying, but I noticed that some of the female Peloton instructors do that too. I guess they're told they have to wear makeup, so they wind up looking like synchronized swimmers on there because they have like these just like these big pink lips and everything, because I guess, you know, you have to wear this like, you know, all sweat resistant makeup. And I'm like, just don't. You don't have to. You don't. We're all sweating here. Let's not. If you're, listen, if you're working on a boat or on a bike, you don't have to bother with it. Just be yourself.
You know, stop. Okay. Say fuck you to the patriarchy. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay? People can play blackjack without you looking like you're on Toddlers and Tiaras. I mean, there's just something, there's just like something about Sydney in general. It reminds me of, you know, living in LA when This Is Us was coming out, and every time you pass the This Is Us poster, it's like, I'm not paying attention to that show, but I instinctively knew just to feel sad, you know?
There's just inherent sadness.
Yeah, because you know it's going to be just sad. And that's what I'm getting from Sydney now. Like, you're basically a This Is Us billboard. Stop it, okay? I don't watch a show to feel bad for somebody.
The NBC Universal family knows really how to pull our heartstrings. So then we see Gary, and Gary's showing Sydney how to put a flag up, which is exciting. And she's like, you know, I like that regardless of what happened with my ex-boyfriend, Gary, that he can still flip into work mode, despite the fact that our long and emotional relationship did take up so much space in our lives. We're both adults.
Yeah.
And we can handle the situation.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really grateful that he can really, you know, teach me to hone my mini donkey dick tying skills, you know, even after the divorce. You know, we're just keeping it together for the kids, basically.
So then Colin goes into the galley and he's like, ¿qué pasa? And the scene pretty much ends right there, which is so Colin. Apparently last night on Watch What Happens Live, Daisy and Natasha were on. I think it was Daisy and Natasha. It was two below deck. Or maybe it was Danny and Natasha. And I think they had to like list their favorite qualities. They had to do something. I didn't watch it. Someone told us they had to basically list something about every crew member, and they left out Colin. He's the Danielle. He's the Danielle of blow deck sailing. And Colin also, he and his girlfriend broke up, and I guess they posted some like lengthy tale about it on
YouTube. Oh God, they did that horrible like modern breakup thing of influencers where they're like, "You guys, I'm so sad about this. But here's the reason we have parted ways." And they start telling this 5-page Instagram story about their breakup. And then they each have their own Instagram feeds where they're like crying, like they take pictures of themselves crying.
Yeah, that's a lot for a couple that literally no one has ever asked about.
Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Okay. The picture is of his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, Natasha. And she's looking like super seriously at the camera. And half of her face is shadow. It's a very artistic picture. Yeah. And then he's like looking down at her shoulder as she gets a tattoo. And he says, "So a couple of months ago, Ocean Martina and I decided to go our separate ways. It was an extremely eventful year with the boat breaking, getting struck by lightning, a pandemic, a lost dog, and me doing a reality TV show. And I will always have amazing memories of how she supported..." And then it just cuts off.
Instagram was like... Instagram was like, "You've reached the end of Instagram. Here's some other things to look at."
It didn't really cut off. He just goes on, "We've chosen to be quite private about all the details, but if you really want to know more, I do explain things in quite a deep manner on today's YouTube episode. Link in bio. As I say in the episode, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened." Did you come up with that on your catamaran? Okay, that isn't... It's not as you said, okay? That is an actual saying, sir. You know, as when I always say, Ben, lightning, you win some, you lose some.
Zapped out of you. That's, you know what, Colin? That's the way the cookie crumbles. But hey, no use crying over spilt milk. Am I right?
You can
have those.
You know, it's just like I always say, Colin, a bird in hand is better than two in the bush. You know what I'm saying?
Sounds like that relationship was really lightning in a bottle, which may explain a lot of things earlier in your posts.
Yeah, nobody cares, buddy, even though we just read it out loud. Okay, so...
By the way, he's like my favorite person on the boat. That's the funny part.
I know. He's the hottest, he's the sweetest, he's like, and he gossips the smartest. Most. So yeah, I'm into him too. And he owns something. You know, he has something.
And he's
something.
Like capable and responsible, and he's like literally the best, except for the fact that he does not dress properly for a restaurant. But like, he's literally the best, but no one cares about him.
So they're all getting ready for dinner, and the guests put on tuxes. And I have to say, love Natasha, still love Natasha. And I'm generally team Natasha, even though she's doing a lot of things wrong. I picked my team and I'm sticking on it. But man, sure. These are some ugly ass dishes. Everything's just a white clump of something that comes out.
Yeah, I don't even remember how I remember the risotto. I don't remember
it's
other
one. It's a lobster. The first is like a butter poached lobster, which, you know, sounds delicious, yeah. But it's just like a big white clump on a white plate. And then the next one is just a clump of mozzarella on a clump of white toast on a white plate. And then the next one is a white risotto with truffle oil, which is also white or, you know, clear.
Yeah.
And it's like the cast of a TLC show. It's very white. Okay. It's like
very,
white
very
thing
white.
After white thing after white thing. It's like one of those marriage shows where someone married to 10 white ladies.
Yeah, exactly. But then everyone tells us that we have to watch the white food, and we're like, we don't want to watch the white food. So so they're eating it, they're loving it, and Frank Martini's like, "This is delicious. It's a lot of food though. I'm already getting full." And it's like, he's already getting full.
And Daisy rolls her eyes like, "I told her they were getting food."
She thought it was perfect, but it's not.
Daisy. So then Gary and Allie are talking, because of course everyone's given them some time, so he goes to the laundry room to flirt with her, and he's like, "Hey, gorgeous," blah, 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 blah. And she's like, "What were you talking to Sid about earlier?"
He's like, "Oh, I just wanted to clear the air with her," and Allie tells us, "No, boy, it's worth having drama with my cabin mates, and I'm very emotionally aware of how my actions are affecting Sydney, but at the same time, if Gary and Sydney didn't kiss, then I probably would have perceived something sooner."
And he's like, "I like you. You're a cool chick. We get along, don't we?" And she's like, "We do." And he's like, "Ollie, can I get...
Ollie, Ollie, how are you doing with the turnout?"
Wait, hold on.
Can we hug? Let's hug. Oh, yeah. Can you hug? You need a hug? I think you need a hug. Let's hug. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Ole! Ole! Teardowns!
Yeah, Daisy has been standing in the hall listening to this sparkling conversation. And she's like,
I've been listening to you the whole way. If you're going to stand there, do something. Don't just distract her. I'm standing there waiting to see how long you're going to take. Be supportive of me, Gary. Be supportive of me.
Be supportive of me. Ollie, go do the teardowns.
So they're and she's like, Daisy's yelling at Gary in front of Glenn. And so Glenn is watching and, you know, he's observing tension.
He's like, wow. Yeah. He's like, wow, this is great, guys. You're doing a great job filing. And then it's time for a review from the trophy wife. Amanda, the trophy wife, what do you think of your food? Best risotto I've ever had. Put that in quote marks and put it on a billboard. Amanda, trophy wife.
So then we get a little snippet where Gary tells JR, he's like, well, just remember, tomorrow's drop-off day, so wake up is at 12, not 2. Which is, it's a quick snippet, but like, I was like, this is gonna, whenever they're talking about timing, it's gonna matter. So I wrote it down, and I'm so glad I did, because now I can say that wake up time is 12.
So Frank, one of the guests, the main or the primary, as it were, okay, Frank is like, you know, everything is wonderful. Last year I couldn't wait to get off the boat. Then what the fuck are you doing back here, Frank? Okay, like, are you that desperate to be on TV? It's like I had a miserable time last year. Glad I came back.
Yeah. What was that about? So Colin gives Natasha a high five, and then Daisy is with Glenn, and they're talking about how there was tension earlier, and Glenn's like, you know, I'm very concerned when I see Daisy and Gary fighting. I mean, they're supposed to be setting an example. It's like when the rope is not in the donkey dick, it's sort of like, what's going to happen? Because then the boat could just crash into everything, and it's just, you got to do a lot of work with the donkey dick.
I need to keep my eyes on this one. Like, you're not going to do anything, Glenn. Okay.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that about Glenn. I just like that he's the kind of parent. He's like, fuck it. You know, I dropped him out. They can do whatever they, good luck, kid. You know, here's a dollar.
He's just waiting. So that way, he's just biding time for when he can go back to his room and play Minesweeper. So then Gary comes out for casino night. And he's dressed like Clockwork Orange. And he's gonna be like the croupier, and
I know, is it like poker from the 1920s? I don't understand the poker night theme. It's like the girls have to be toddlers in tiaras, and the guys have to wear bowler hats.
When it comes to Vegas, the Blow Deck franchise doesn't always get it right. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
yeah. Kiko. So then, so Daisy goes up to a deck, and Colin is like lying on the deck, like straddling some sort of ropes. I mean, he looks like a pool toy that the air's just been let out of. He's like, and Daisy's like, oh, Colin, oh, you love playing games. You want to play some blackjack, do ya? Would you like to play? He's like, please. But of course, it's Colin. He says yes.
Yeah, he's like, well, I want good times, happy guests, and a happy, and then it just cuts off. So then Sydney is wiping off her face, and as casino night begins, and Daisy is talking to Allie, and she's like, you know, I have to deal with this whole Natasha thing. Her confidence is obnoxious. She needs to have a piece of humble pie, but I'll order pie, and she'll probably call it Eggs Benedict. I mean, why does it all have to be such a defensive fucking argument all the time? And she doesn't like me as well, which is another thing we need to talk about. She's got a chip on her shoulder, probably calls it a tortilla.
She probably thinks her the chip on her shoulders the 20th Peter.
So I'm just like obsessed with that Peter argument. You say there's 20 Peters in here? There's not 20 Peters.
Poor Allie and Danny, who constantly have to listen to Daisy. They both constantly have to listen to her bitch. And Allie's just staring, kind of, you know, when you're kind of trying to look at somebody, but you're really staring into space. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's gambling, and these obnoxious guests are just like making joke after joke. And that guy Aiden, he's like, would it be awkward if we had breakfast inside? Because we're gonna be playing here all night long, right? Wah, wah, wah. They all go, what? They literally laugh like that. And Khan is just like standing there. He just looks like an exhausted owl, just like just wants, he's like gonna fall asleep handing out cards.
Yeah, and then Danny and JL are doing their like super romantic flirting, and Jean-Luc is like, whoa, my zipper's down. No wonder it's so breezy.
Hi, JL. With that blazing hot humor. So then Danny is like, I do like JL more than I anticipated. I mean, he's a very good American boy. Respectful. And it's like, I'm upset now because we all knew this was going to happen because we see it happen on every Bravo show. Someone says, yeah, I'm just going to play around. I'm just playing around. I don't know. I really love him now.
Next episode. Like, next episode. Oh, I wanted to get married. They're not babies. I'm like, oh, God. That's the previews for the next episode. It's like, come on.
Danny, come on. Yeah. Stick to your guns. It's JL for crying out loud.
Yeah. And did you hear the rumors about these two?
Yes, tell everyone.
Okay, our good friend Sashal Madia told me that supposedly he gets her pregnant and then refuses to have anything to do with her after that. Now, I don't know if that's true, okay? I have no idea if that's true or not, but that's what the internet is saying. So, wow. I hope that's not true. But JL calls his mom, and his mom is like, honey, what are you doing awake still? What on earth are you doing awake, honey?
He's like, Mom, I met someone. It's unlike anyone else I've ever met. It's amazing. We've, like, talked a few times, and she's amazing.
Oh, yeah? Tell me about her.
Her name is Danny Suarez.
Oh, how cute. Show me a picture. Show me a picture, honey.
And he goes, wow, I've never had a connection with anyone like this. Like, I mean, my mom approves. I mean, she doesn't approve of any woman. She knows nothing.
She just saw a picture and saw that she was pretty. So she's like, fine, whatever. Give me pretty babies. But yeah. Meanwhile, Colin is like, it's 1 a.m. and, you know, JL is on night duty and he's just sitting there just talking. And Colin is exhausted. He's been working all day. He probably fixed 5 tenders off camera. And he just wants to go to sleep. So he goes to find he goes to find JL and everything. And he doesn't necessarily go to find him. He's just like, where the fuck is JL, right? And JL's just going on and on. And the mom is like, well, JL, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. I'm like, this is like a work hookup. All they do is they kiss at night. Why are we talking about if it's meant to be, it's meant to be? Like, they're fated in the stars.
Yeah. So he's in the bridge. So Colin comes through the window and he's like, hi, what are you up to? He's like, oh, well, just trying to wait on these guests. No, you're not. You're in the bridge talking on the phone to your mom. Like, is everyone stupid here? And he's like, what are you, just sitting there? And he's like, come on, man, let's switch out. So you go do the gambling. And he's like, oh, okay.
I love you, honey.
And hang up your phone, okay? Hang up the phone.
It's like, listen, I can't do the gambling anymore. I've had a long day of work. Plus, you know, at home, there's been a lot of emotional things ever since I got struck by lightning. No one's even listening to me anymore. I said I was literally struck by lightning and no one's even listened to me. No, okay.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial. So he goes to the table to help gamble. And I love when short guys tall shame a guy. You know, because short guys are constantly getting shortchanged. So the short guy is like, you can sit, bro. You got a far reach to the table.
He's tall, get it? He's tall, guys.
Yeah, and then there's like this really weird scene where the guests start to all bicker. And I had to like watch it twice to really understand what was going on. And basically there's like, of the guys, there's like one guy who's like kind of cute. He's the one who like slid on the floor and then his back hit the wall in the previous leaves, and like he bid lower. He, I guess since they're playing blackjack, he ruined it for the table. And so then Amanda, the trophy wife, starts like kind of like taunting him, and then he gets really mad, and then he starts to feel emasculated, and then she's like, you can't play cards with the big boys if you're gonna act like that. And so then it gets real.
You're like never going to get a trophy wife, that's for sure. I think they get mad because he is betting too much. They're like mad that, he's mad that someone else is betting too much.
He's betting too little. That's why because she shames him. She's like, oh, he's still betting with 20s. She says that at one point. He's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, so they get really mad, and then it becomes a guy fight. He's like, you know what? I'm going to walk away from that. And then he walks away, and the other guy's like, what? You emasculated or what, buddy? And he's like, how dare you say I'm emasculated? And then
it's called humor, buddy.
Yeah. And he's like, you know what? We're going to have a little talk here without my shirt on. It's very Vanderpump Rules. Like, he's very mad, so he takes off his shirt. And he's like, you know, putting other people down ain't humor. Well, turn off this show.
And then meanwhile, Gary's just watching. He's like, what a little bitch. What a little bitch. So, yeah, so that's like some drama amongst the guests. So now it's the next morning and Colin wakes up and he feels broken. And we get like recurring shots of Glenn standing on like one of the lower decks by the water. And he has like a pool noodle and he's just like rubbing the wood with a pool noodle or something. It's like, it's like the most Glenn thing you can imagine he would do in the morning.
I know. And they just keep cutting back to him doing it over and over. Something happened right before everybody went to sleep that cracked me up. Danny and JL were talking in the bridge and he's like, hey, and she goes, hey, I'm wearing red lipstick. And he's like, whoa.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Okay. So Sydney is working and she's like, oh my God, this fucking guy didn't do anything. Like he did not do his job again. So she's pissed. And then Natasha's making pancakes and Glenn's like, let me know if you made too many pancakes with pizza sauce. Glenn, looks good. Looks good, but.
Glenn, take your pool noodle out of the pancake batter. So, yeah. And so now more JL problems is that he didn't fold any of the towels or anything. And Sydney is talking about how she wants to represent women and take pride in her work. And, you know, that's her mindset when she works. So she goes and tells Gary, she's like, listen, nothing was detailed. The towels in the dryer weren't folded. The dishes weren't done. And I don't want to tattle, but I just did everything he was supposed to do in the past 2 fucking hours.
Yeah. And then I rewound to see if Gary had a boner. Which I think he did. So then Tony, who won blackjack. Oh, yeah. And Daisy's like, I don't know. I went too big. So then Sydney's talking to Gary. Yeah, she's mad. Okay, sorry. I got lost for a second.
Sorry.
So then Gary and Daisy are talking. And he's like, look, what are the chances of putting Danny on nights, all right? Because JL's not getting his work done because they're up all night screwing around and doing whatever they're doing. And something's got to change. And she's like, well, I can't leave Allie on breakfast on her own. God help her.
I can barely leave her just in her room alone. I'm the one who has to open up the door. She doesn't even know how to use the doorknob. So then Gary then turns it into like, oh, well, Daisy just takes and takes and takes and never gives. And when I need her to help out, she doesn't help out. No, this is not the same thing. This is not that all the guests went out onto the deck and just like threw up everywhere and now it has to be clean immediately and so we need every person on deck wiping the deck. That's not the same. This is that you have a guy who is a bad worker and instead of actually reprimanding him or working with him or fixing what's wrong with your worker, you're actually trying to just make the woman be the one that has to like adjust, right, for this oaf. And it's like, it was so fucked up.
Yeah, why don't you change his schedule? It's weird.
Yeah, because he says because Sydney is really, really good and he can't have JL. Like, he needs Sydney during the days. It's like, it's very important. But either way, your point still remains. Like, whatever it is, like, maybe put him on days because you can watch over him or whatever. But like, Danny shouldn't be the one that has to change her shit because JL is the one who's terrible at his job.
Yeah, and that's what she says too. She's like, you take care of your own department, which, yeah, fire his ass, you know?
Yeah, he's terrible.
So then Allie and Gary are talking, and she's like, what were you talking to Daisy about? She always has to know the goss. And he's like, well, I asked her to put you on nights because you're fucking around up there, you know? Hey, you want me to stop coming in here and distracting you? Maybe I can do some tails or something. You got a tail to fold? Hey, you want a hug? You want a tail fold hug?
Sarah, stop! I'm gonna fucking kill you all. You spend all your fucking life permanently down here in the laundry. The irony is palpitating.
I'm like, I don't know what that really means. The irony is palpitating, but you know, I get the sentiment.
So then the last day of charter, And they're going to do a fruit and chocolate dessert, but Natasha is going to do it as a painting you can eat. I can't fuck it up because the last thing I want is constructive fucking criticism from Daisy, okay?
So what I'm going to do is put a lot of sauce on some paper with some strawberries and shot glasses of more sauce, and that'll be it.
As everyone walks out the door. It's really weird.
Yeah. So, it's really weird.
Yeah. So Natasha is kind of teasing Danny in the kitchen, and she's like, yeah, I hear that you're distracting Jean-Luc so he can't do his job. And then Gary is talking to Sydney, and he's like, where the fuck is Jean-Luc? How many times do I need to tell him to get up the day? It starts at 12 on drop-off day. The day starts at 12. And she's like, I'll wake him up. So she goes into his room, and she's like, JL, you're supposed to be up at noon today. And he's like, I forgot about that. But you could have said it with a more upbeat tone, like, hey, we could really use your help.
Which is so funny because he was like so pissed at Allie when Allie said that when he told her when she tried to wake him up and he was like, get the fuck out of here. That when she was like, but you could have said that in a nicer way. All these people are hypocrites, basically.
Yeah.
Like at all times.
So then Daisy and Danny are talking and she's like, listen, obviously I know that you're hooking up with JL in the evening. Everyone knows about it. She's like, but he's doing his job. What's the big deal? And she's like, no, he's not, because now Gary's asking me to put to change the lights up. So it's obviously not working out then.
Yeah, and she's like, I know you're responsible, and I know you wouldn't be distracting him if he had work to do. And Danny's basically like you said before, like, I'm getting my job done. I'm not the reason why he's not getting his job done. Like, it's not my problem. That's not my fault. Change your own department. Don't fuck it up with my job. Because Danny's right. If she's able to do all her work, and she has a lot of work too, then it's clearly not the issue that they're hooking up, because she's getting her shit done. So JL, so he has slept in for an hour. He's supposed to be up at 12. It's like 1 p.m. or so. So Gary comes downstairs, and there is JL sitting in the crew mess, not just like having like a quick bite before he goes to work. He has a plate with salad and pasta and some sort of protein, and he's just sitting there eating it. And Gary's like, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to be up at 12 o'clock. He's like, and JL's like, yeah, I completely forgot. And it was not like a moment of like, oh shit, okay, you need me right now. It was like, yeah, I forgot. Let me just finish this giant mound of pasta, then the salad, then the protein, dessert, and I might go for round two afterwards.
Yeah, so Gary's going to kill him. So he's talking to Daisy, and she's like, well, I talked to Danny, but I'm thinking all you're going to get to do is encourage rather than get annoyed with people. That's what I'd suggest you do. And he's like, he's all mad. And then it just cuts to Sydney hitting her head on something.
Yeah, just bonks her head right on the roof.
Yeah.
So now Natasha's doing her live dessert painting. And Glenn is like, what are we doing here? I thought we were just about to drop off all the guests right now. And Daisy,
like, they just docked the boat. They docked the boat. Like, it's time to say goodbye. And she's like, okay, and now I will drip chocolate all over a table with a spoon. I'm like,
I know. And they're all doing it together. It's like some weird performance art where they're putting down like blueberries and like marshmallows. And it was just sort of bizarre. And honestly, to me, it was not very appetizing. And then one of the guests is like, oh, one wrong move and you could get splashed with chocolate. I'm like, oh, wow, good one.
So Natasha really thinks she got one on Daisy. She's like, oh, you obviously have no idea what I'm capable of. I know how to make desserts. Just not eggs. Okay, maybe if you repeated that thing but proved you know what an over easy egg is, everybody would be super impressed. But nope, everyone's like, can we go now?
Yeah, be careful, Ronnie, because next episode she's going to put some cray paper down on a table and just like splatter runny eggs all over it. Breakfast is served.
So they're unloading the guys are doing all the suitcases, or the deck crew, I guess I should say, are doing all the suitcases. And Gary's like, so the girls can have us do dishes but not help with this? Seems like an unfair world, doesn't it?
I guess like technically, but it's just doing dishes is like, doesn't require maybe necessary. I don't know. I don't think that's, the girls are still like dealing with the guests. They're still serving them and, you know, they're still interfacing with them. So that's why they can't. So
Frank's like, all right, everybody. It was an amazing charter. I have Amanda here to say something. Amanda,
It's Trophy Wife Amanda. Trophy Wife Amanda. Go ahead, honey. I just wanted to say it was very good by Trophy Wife Amanda.
On behalf of all Trophy Wives, as an ambassador to Trophy Wife Weekly, just wanted to say thanks. And sorry for our pussy friend here who bets too low in gambling. It's an embarrassment to all of us.
He rips off his shirt. How could you emasculate me like that?
Hey. So, yeah. So Frank's like, I also want to give a separate mention to Natasha. She was absolutely phenomenal. Never had over easy eggs as a scramble. Now I don't even know what eggs are anymore, but it's worth it. It was great.
And Daisy and Allie are being really bitchy about her getting a compliment. Daisy's like, oh, I can't even say anything right now. And Allie's like, yeah, I can't say anything even.
So now there's like a little bit of cleaning, and now it's time for the tip meeting. So they all gather, and Glenn is like, all right, guys, it was a good charter. I mean, I'm sensing some tensions are rising. And he's like, what happened with breakfast? Did something go on with breakfast? I mean, surely nothing could go wrong. I mean, what, someone asked for an over-easy egg? I mean, how could you mess that up, right? Okay, tell me.
Well, you know, it's her eggs. You know, the lady asked for over-easy, and then so she sent them back. And Natasha goes, I didn't make her eggs. You know, you came and you told her. She goes, oh, but you did make her eggs. Yeah, I did. She says, yeah, but you said she wanted fried, and I didn't do her order yet. Oh, look at that. No humility. No humble pie.
no humble pie is being spread across that gray paper. So Glenn is like, breakfast has been a point of contention for Daisy and Natasha this season. Clearly there's a bigger issue. So the good
also
news,
this fight gets so crazy because it's just a little argument, but Glenn's like, so did she get her fried eggs in the end? And Natasha goes, yes, she got fried eggs, but she asked for over easy eggs. I like that Natasha never gets it right. Like, even after all of that, she's like, yes, and she got a fried egg. The end.
Yeah, she definitely did not. Well, I mean, I kind of feel like probably in the kitchens that she cooked in, you can't show any weakness. I get the sense that, like, the moment you show weakness, they just, like, destroy you. And so you just have to just be like...
That's true. And we see that on Top Chef. We see that on Top Chef all the time, right? So it's, like, a trick question at the end. Like, did you mean... What were you thinking when you sent out a pita like that? And then the chef has to either say, you know what? I fucked up. To which sometimes Tom will say, well, you know what? You know you fucked up, and you did fuck up, and this is about not fucking up. You're gone. But then sometimes you're like, guess what? I totally did that on purpose. I didn't fuck up at all. It's like, well, you know, sometimes chefs need to learn humility, and now you're gone. It's like, you can't win.
You can't. You can't. I really liked what you did with the scrambled eggs, the way you served them over easy. Or was it the other way around? Either way, I didn't like it. So
burnt, charred, rubbery egg. Simmer down, Gail.
So, so they get a really good tip, and Glenn says that he's secured a restaurant for them to go to for dinner tonight to celebrate. So now everyone's getting dressed for dinner, and JL has his headphones on, and he's listening to music, and he's going, woo, woo, which is like, that to me was the final straw. I was like, this, get him out.
He's such a bimbo. He's such a bimbo. When Glenn says, I've secured a restaurant, and they're opening just for us, he goes, off the boat.
no, they've actually are gonna. It's like, congratulations, today is restaurant wars on your yacht.
Yeah, so Gary, I don't know, everybody's just basically getting ready, right? So then they all go to the vans, and one van is Sydney. And who's with Sydney? Danny and Natasha, right? So she's like, you know what? I feel like us, we're all like the best friends here because like the other group, like Allie and Daisy really like to start a lot of shit. I really like this van of friends better.
Yeah, because they say that Daisy and Allie are the gossipers. And this is the first sign that I've noticed where we're seeing kind of a rift in the girls. Like it seemed like the girls were all actually pretty tight. I mean, yeah, Daisy and Natasha clash, but it seems like overall as a group, they're pretty cohesive. But now for the first time we realize, oh, there is like a little bit of a rift. So they go to this restaurant and it was just, again, the girls have all dressed up. They're all pretty. And then Colin is wearing board shorts and like a t-shirt and like a trucker cap. I'm like, dude, you try. You know, I love you, Colin, but try. trying. Okay, maybe there's a reason why this girl left. She's like, how many more nice restaurants can I walk into and he's wearing flip-flops?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen how I dress, so I'm just going to stay quiet over here.
So, you know, but you know when to dress right, Ronnie. You do.
But I'll still wear jeans and just, well, at least I will we'll wear a button
you won't wear,
down.
Okay? You're not going to wear a board down. You won't wear board shorts into a nice restaurant.
Yeah. Okay. So, JL.
Let me give you a compliment for crying out loud.
Okay. Thanks. I'll take it. Thank you, Ben. So, Jean-Luc is like, you know, flirting with Danny. He's like, God, I'd rather be doing nothing than hanging out with Danny. I like her so much. I mean, she's so pretty and she puts a smile on my face. It's like, oh, book the wedding. Book it now.
Nothing can go wrong. This is a solid foundation. Smile on the face, and she's pretty.
And this is where he says, my mom is the biggest critic when it comes to women, so if she's given me the go-ahead, what does your mother know? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So they all sit down at the table, and JL orders a whiskey, and Danny's like, slow down with the whiskey. Slow down. And everyone's like, ooh, because it means that she wants to have sex with him or something. So then Danny is like, you know what? Hooking up with me is something you want to remember. So don't get too drunk for it. I was like, yes, Danny. I was like, good for her. I mean, I don't approve of her at all with her choice of men, but I do approve of her, like, her pro Danny sentiments, her pro self Danny. I approve of. I like self love. Her self love. That's what it is.
So Gary, the muscles come, and Gary's like, I love having muscles near the sea.
I hope that was not flirting. Like, oh, blah, 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 when you have muscles by the sea, blah, 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 blah.
He's like hugging those, it.
Those muscles have his ass juice in them. By the way, don't forget that.
They have ass juice.
His ass juice, because he was skinny dipping the night before.
Oh, yeah. They've all seen his pasty ass too. They were like, we wanted to die ever since that pasty ass jumped into the ocean. So thank you for finally serving us up.
Thank you for dousing us with white wine, because we have not gotten the taste out of our mouths. So
Danny's all, don't drink too much white wine, muscles. I'm pretty hot.
Yeah, because he has like the coming down. He's like, because he's like, oh, I love the muscles. And Colin goes, well, half of it's down your chin, bro. Oh. And everyone just like ignores him.
And Sydney's so, hanging on Gary's arm like, ha, honey, that was such a good one. So funny. Glad we're trying things out again. Back together.
So then Daisy steps away because she wants to have a ciggy with Allie, and Danny is like, oh, because you guys want to gossip? Is that why? You guys want to gossip? And Allie's like, because you guys are still eating or something like that. But clearly the way I read it is that Danny is pissed off about what happened earlier, when she's basically, you know, like the suggestion that she is responsible for JL fucking up. Like, she's clearly just like, it's been stewing on it, and it's now starting to come out at this dinner, which I love.
Well, and it also started in the car with Sydney being like, oh, well, they're always gossip. Like, this group is good, but that group is mean. Because basically, the quote-unquote popular group, the smokers, all go off. So it's like five of them, right? It's like four or five of them. So the rest of them are just stuck at the table, and then now they're all mad. Like, they've all talked each other into being mad at the other, the other group.
Right.
So Sydney's like, why are you leaving? And he goes, it's what the cool people do. That's why you don't know, Sydney. So Danny's like, just smoke here. And they're like, no, we're being respectful of you. So they go. Yeah. And now the other group's like really furious of them.
Because now it's like only three people at the table. It's like Natasha. It's Natasha, Danny, and Sydney. And they're just sitting there. And so meanwhile, Allie and Daisy, they all smoke around this corner, and Allie's like, Danny thinks that we gossip all the time. I'm like, you realize you're literally gossiping right now. So they all go to smoke, and you know,
Sydney's really mad. But Sydney's really mad because she's had her paws all over Gary all night, acting like they're a couple, and now he's off to flirt with Allie in her mind.
Yeah, right? He finally figured out how to create separation. And so they're mad, but they're also mad because it goes on. It's like 5 minutes, and then it's like 19 minutes. And that's honestly, that is very rude. And it's like, that sucks. Like, I actually think it really, really sucks. I actually don't think this was a petty thing. It sucks when you're like all with a group, and then like most of the group leaves to go smoke. And then you're sort of, you don't want to be the weird one that like follows the smokers, because A, you just, if you don't smoke, you're probably not wanting to go hang around smoking. And also like, it's weird. It feels almost like thirsty, but then you sit back and it's just like, it sucks. And I actually really empathized with those women's frustration.
I know you have
a different experience, but as someone who's on my side, as someone who's been at the table with those girls or thing, it sucks when like there's like a fun vibe, there's all this fun, and then like everyone just like goes and brings the fun somewhere else, and you just can't really partake in it. It's like, yeah, you could have fun with the people that are left there, but it's not the same, and it sucks.
Well, yeah, they're really mad, and Sydney's like, well, that's really rude, but fine. And then you just hear, they're having the time of their lives, and they're literally just around the corner. They didn't go off very far. They're standing like 6 feet away, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I thought it was weird. Like, why can't you just all go hang out by that wall? I don't really get it. But then Daisy or Natasha's like, come back to the table so we can eat. And Daisy's like, you went for a cigarette and then you stayed forever. And Allie's like, but we didn't know you were waiting. It's like, great. I'm sorry that we're not a good chat for you. And she's like, all right, it's not really a big deal.
Yeah, so Allie starts to get real snotty. Because I like when she's like, oh, we didn't know everyone was waiting for us. That implies that, like, we're only coming back because you're waiting for us. We're not coming back because we actually want to socialize with you, right? So, So now Allie, who has been the rude one here, is now the one being like, oh, it's not a big deal, whatever. She's getting all snotty. And I was like, okay. Now we're seeing the real Allie here. So Danny is like, well, I'm glad you think like that. She goes, well, we're all generally saying sorry. I don't know why everyone's so angry at us. I'm like, that is not apologetic. And the fact that she hangs on to that later, like, how many times I have to say I'm sorry? I'm like, because you said I'm sorry. I don't know why everyone's so angry at us. That's why.
It's weird that it becomes this big of a conversation to me. I'm kind of with Allie on this one. But I mean, of course I would, because I do go outside and smoke, you know?
Yeah.
So if someone was like, you went outside and smoked, that was rude. I'd be like, well, sorry. It would have been ruder to smoke at the table and then not worried about it. Like, I don't need to take responsibility for everyone's fun. Like, I'm not hired to, like, entertain you fuckers, okay? If you can't make conversation with the three of you, then come... Like, if you're desperate for me to entertain you, then come with me. Like, I'm not going to be tied down to somebody.
Well, but the thing is this, that, like, sometimes people, it's not like, oh, I need you to entertain me. It's more like there was a really fun vibe, and it's now been moved away from me. And now I have to sit here, and, like, we can talk.
The fun vibe moved, period. It only moved away from you because you didn't move with it. Like, you can't just command the fun vibe around.
Why should people have to, like, move with to the smoking, you know? And then the thing is, it's also that it goes on for so long.
They shouldn't
it goes
have on to for, move to it. They
if it had been like a minute or not a minute, but like however long it take a smoke a cigarette. Because there are a lot of people who do just step away and they smoke their cigarette and they're gone for like a few minutes. But this was like 19 minutes. Like that is rude. And unfortunately, it's actually something I think a lot of us have experienced where it's like people do go out and then they're gone for like, it's not just like a few minutes. They're gone for like, you know, 20 minutes or sometimes even 30 minutes. And it's like, it's really, really annoying, you know? And so I totally get why Danny is pissed. And that's why I felt like Allie's sort of like fake apology was so disrespectful, because here's someone who was just sitting here and like, then she comes back and doesn't even have any sort of like compassion for the fact that this woman probably feels on some level rejected and frustrated, annoyed, and pissed.
Okay. Well,
you're getting an insight to the other side, Ronnie.
Okay. Well, then you know what? I'll just listen. I'll take a note.
Take a note.
I'll make note of that, because I don't see it from that side, but I can now that you're saying it, you know.
Now that I've poured out like a lifetime's of frustration of being in these situations.
10 years of being pissed every time you go out with me. Like,
no, it's not you. It's just so many people. I think you know what, it was one of those things I never really thought about that much until this episode, and I realized how how often I had been in that situation, and it sucks. Because you know what? Also, by the way, like sometimes it does happen where like the group leaves to go smoke, and then you are kind of left with like a sucky person, and you're like, oh, okay, and now I've got to make small talk with this person. I wasn't really interested in having small talk with this person, and like, but like again, like. It feels really thirsty to go follow the smokers. It feels like you don't understand how...
I mean, I feel like my friends always come outside with me to smoke. And I'm the only one who smokes in my group. I mean, I vape now, but still, same diff. You still have to go outside to do it. And my friends generally come with me. I don't... I mean, you know, the
other... I'm having a trauma flashback, by the way. I'm having a very serious trauma flashback. And I don't know... I
know what you're thinking. I already know what you're thinking.
Which one?
Wedding. You're either thinking wedding or you're thinking that time we were at that bar in Hollywood for that reality show thing. What was that?
How about
this?
And the
Vanderpump Rules kids were all there.
How about no? Here's one. This is not me actually trying to like air out grievances with you because I don't have any grievances with you. But I'm just saying like the situation. I just suddenly had a traumatic memory of when we went out with like Patricia and Whitney and Catherine and like all those people from Southern Charm. They came to LA a few years ago and we went out with them. And then at one point you guys all went out to smoke and I was left with Whitney at the table, just me and Whitney for 20 minutes at least. Okay. My case is closed. Thank you, everyone. Yeah, I won the argument.
Yes, but you should have looked at that as this is my chance to pitch my own reality show. Not like, oh, I'm stuck. You know, it's like I get to be stuck alone with the television producer instead of, you know, well, I should be outside. You know, it's all how you look at things.
You know what? You're right. I clearly missed an opportunity and I take it all back.
Yeah, you got some alone time. I was stuck with him later in the evening, so in all actuality, I feel
your pain. I traded off. After that, I was like, when you guys came back, I said, I'm going home. I pulled a Danny right then and there.
Okay, so back to this. So Danny's really pissed off, and she walks off, and she's like, they pushed my buttons, and being disrespectful is one of my buttons. Didn't your mother teach you manners? And then Sydney's like, yeah, we just wanted a nice meal. So back at the table, everyone's now all mad at each other. And they're trying to make this better by doing shots. And Daisy's like, I'm not doing shots. Mm-hmm. But then ends up doing a shot anyway, because no one cares. It's like you're making a stand on something that's only going to hurt you in the long run. Okay, do a shot.
Yeah, exactly. So then Sydney is talking about like, she's like, well, he's like, she's like, you know, I just feel like the smoking group just always excludes the three of us. And Gary's like, well, then you better start fucking smoking then. And then Allie's like, well, how many times do you want to say sorry? She's like, you know, all you had to do was say, hey, come on, sit down, we're waiting. I mean, it's like just the dumbest thing I've ever argued over.
So then dinner is served and it's a lobster as big as a mid-sized dog. It's
it really
huge.
Is.
It's a scary ass lobster.
Yeah, they're like, this restaurant's actually like clearly pulling out all the stops because probably they haven't had as much business. It's the pandemic, it's TV. So they're putting out all this food. And so Allie can't eat her. She's going to get vegetarian food, but she can't even eat because the lobster face is looking at her. So she like moves over to Natasha to get away from the lobster.
And Sydney is trying to get back on Gary's good side. And she's like, yeah, look, I can lift the lobster. Feel my muscles, Gary. Which we find out later is one of her greatest things. She's like, I'm more fit than that bitch.
Yeah.
And he's like, what muscles? And she gets like a hurt look on her face. And he's like, to us, and never having an argument ever. And Daisy's like, no, I've got one. Here's to having an argument, but still loving each other after and doing dishes at night to help the girls.
And Gary staying out of the laundry room. So then Allie and Gary they go off to smoke again, and then Daisy meanwhile pulls Sydney off for a chat. So basically Danny is left with like, this time Jean-Luc is smart, he stays back, but they basically stay back with Natasha. And so
so there's four of them at the table, right? And
yeah, because Colin, I think, stayed back as well.
And Natasha's really like, oh, look at me. I'm stuck at the table. Are we going to have a threesome? And I was like, poor Colin. He's not even counted in the threesome.
He's not. And she's, and so, so Sydney is feeling like she's been berated by Allie, because when she just like expressed her situation to Allie, Allie was like, you know, being super snotty. And then Natasha's like, we should have just stayed on the yacht. Crew dining, that's the thing. Crew. So meanwhile, Gary's like, whatever, back to flirting. So he's like, I have to say that, Allie, you know, you're probably the coolest person on the boat after Colin.
Who's that? Who's Colin?
I don't even know. I just made up the name.
Oh.
But there's chemistry between Allie and I. And I reckon if it were a relationship, it'd be like, oh, you put down the phone first. No, you put down the phone first. I'm going to jerk off now. You jerk off now. Okay.
So he keeps trying to hold her hand and they're like giggling. And then Sydney can hear it over in her conversation and she's all mad. And she's like, you know what? Like, even now, I don't know what's going on between me and Gary. I mean, there's just so much weird stuff. He does not want you.
Does not like you.
You are pathetic at this point. Stop. And she's like, I don't even need boys to make me happy, so I don't understand why I'm like this. Yes, you do. And this is not the first time that you've been like this. This is never the first time. You're cray-cray. Yes. Just stop.
Yes, exactly. So Gary is, he's like, okay, he's like, now is my chance. He's like, well, this has been an amazing first date. I thought maybe we could have a kiss. And Allie's like, no. Like, oh, but we have a connection. She's like,
oh, well, of course we do. But Sydney told me 2 days ago how much she likes you.
He's like,
I'm going to stop trying then. So he gets all mad and like stalks off. And so then Danny goes over to Allie. Well, wait, who's talking?
No. Gary goes over the table and he's like, oh, you guys mind if I smoke at the table? And Danny's like, well, you've been smoking for 2 hours, so you might as well continue. And so Allie comes to the table and sits down near Danny and goes, and then Danny's,
so then becomes some weird little fight. I didn't really understand what was going on. So Danny kind of smarts off to Gary and he's like, what's the big deal or something? And she's like, it was a joke. Why are you so upset? I mean, and then Allie's like, what are we going over all of this again? And then Danny's like, you go comfort her, Gary, because Allie walks off all mad. And Gary's like, well, don't be like with me the way that you are with her, because I don't take that shit. And Danny goes, oh, then go fuck yourself. And he's like,
yeah, because the thing is, when Allie went, oh, Danny was like, why'd you go? Oh, and then she's like, oh, why was it? What was wrong with us? Well, why are you worked up? So they start bickering about the fact that she went, oh. They're bickering about that. And then when that's how it all started. And then Danny sassed off to Gary. And then Allie's like, why are you saying that? So it's just like
the dumbest fight ever. I love it.
It's like literally, it's like a sigh fight. It's literally a fight about a sigh.
So then Sydney is still talking to Daisy and Sydney's like, this is going to sound terrible, but I know that I'm the better catch. Like, I know I'm more attractive. I'm more fit. I mean, on paper, that should do it, right? Like, theoretically, I'm the better fit.
And Daisy's like, well, I think that Sydney's obsessed with someone who chose someone else over her. And for what? Gary, who is kind of funny, who loves being in a laundry room but not doing dishes. I don't get it.
So then Allie comes over and she's like, Danny had another dig at me, so I left him. Like, I don't want to be at this fucking dinner anymore.
It's, you know what I wrote down? I had a typo. I meant to write, it's stupid, but I wrote, it's stupid. But I was like, I think Allie would actually say that. This is stupid.
So dessert comes out, and it's this really ornate cake that looks like a sailing boat. Like, they made their boat, right? So it's delivered. Yeah. But it's just Gary. It's just like 3 or 4 people at the table. Everybody's still like spread off talking. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's like this, again, it's like a beautiful cake. There's only 3 people there. It is kind of disrespectful to this restaurant. And Natasha is just like, she's pissed. She's like, why can't we be a crew and eat for 1 hour? Like, you don't need to go for 20 breaks. And so she's just like, fine, if they're not going to be here to see the cake in its like most beautiful state, then that's going to be on them, because I'm going to destroy it and they will never get to see it in its most beautiful state. So then she just destroys the cake.
Yeah. That was gross.
And not only did she like destroy the cake, But then everyone else, I don't think they even realized there was a cake, because then they all just sort of went to the vans directly from where they were. So
I know, like, it should have been this big drama, but I don't think anybody else even knew, because she's the one who ordered dessert. Everybody else was already done with dinner and up from the table, so I think they probably figured they were done. So she ordered the dessert and then got mad that nobody was there to eat the dessert and then destroyed the dessert. And there was no drama because no one paid attention.
It was living dessert art. So so now they all get into their vans, and Allie, like, here's how you know Allie kind of sucks, because when she gets into her van, she's like, this car is the drama-free car. We'll all be happy. And you know that the people who are like, I just don't like drama are the ones who are always full of drama and are awful. So I was like, aha, it's been confirmed. My new suspicions are confirmed.
I don't know. Sydney seems to be the monster in this episode.
Oh, no, Sydney's psychotic. From here on.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that Sydney's the monster, but I feel like we've been so distracted by the fact that Sydney is so sort of like psychotic and clingy that we've overlooked the fact that Allie is actually a snot.
So Natasha, basically they're talking about how, in Natasha's car, basically the boring people's car, supposedly, Natasha's like, what do we think about Colin? And Daisy's like, you know, you just can't get to know him. And then Danny and JL are making out in the back seat. And Danny's like, oh, my amazing Southern man. Say something Southern for us, Jean-Luc. And he's like, I need to put you in some handcuffs. I'm like, oh my God, that was so Southern.
Yeah. And there's also in the other van, Gary is like looking for like the release button on the back seat so that way he can crawl out, and Sydney's trying to help him, and she's just like hanging on the seat, and he finds it, and she just goes flying into the passenger seat. It was just like the little touch of slapstick that we all needed. Also a great metaphor for like her situation with Gary all season long.
So they get back to the boat, and Gary's telling Allie, hey, should we jump in? She's like, no, I'm going to bed. Or no, she doesn't. So she goes to get on her bathing suit.
Yeah.
And Sydney is venting to someone. She's like, this is a trashy situation, and it's all Gary's fault. You know, I'm so sick of it. Like, he just likes the attention. She just likes the attention. And she's like looking at her butt in the mirror with her bathing suit while she says that.
And so JL and Danny is kissing. By the way, I don't think enough attention was really put on the fact that when Daisy said that she said that it's really hard to get to know Colin, he just has so many walls up. It was just so perfect that she said that. But anyway, so Danny is she and JL are kissing, and she said she just has chosen not to be upset because that's what she does. And basically takes him into the guest bed, which is hilarious that the guest bedroom is now being defiled a second time after all of regular Below Deck last season, like, culminated in this big scandal that the guest bedroom was used once by James and Elizabeth.
I know. This show just has different rules. Like, they can just jump overboard. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
They can bang in the guest room. Nobody cares.
No one cares.
It's weird. Yep. So then Sydney is hanging out with Allie and Gary and Colin. And Allie's like, everyone thinks you're a dickhead, Gary. Not me, but everyone else. And Sydney just goes, ... You know, like she did a ... with her voice. And Allie's like, oh, yeah, okay. Because Sydney's just, like, she looks furious.
Yeah.
And she just stays mean the rest of the time. So Allie's like, I'm going to do workout tomorrow, Sydney. Are you in? And Sydney's like, yeah, I could definitely beat you at a workout.
Which was, like hilariously, out of place or whatever. Like, it just didn't, like, she was having an argument in her head, and it accidentally spilled out into real life. You know, I think that's how I took it.
Yeah. Now she's on this whole, I'm more fit than her thing. And so she's like, I could beat you. And she's like, beat me, take it easy. And she goes, whoa. Yeah.
And then, so Allie like tries to change the topic, and she's like, well, I'm so glad that everyone is last man standing now. It's not just me and Sydney and Gary again. And like, literally the only other person who's been added onto it is Colin. It's like, it's not like the whole group. It's just like, it's literally the same people plus Colin.
And so Sydney's all mad. She's like, we're always the last man standing. Like, everything she says is coated with so much anger now. So then Colin's like, yeah, you know what? I need another beer. If you're going up, don't take a tray. And Allie's like, yeah, we won't take any more trays out. Sydney, put yourself in the interior. You know what? That's what I'm dealing with. It's hard. It's hard, Sydney. And Sydney goes, I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah. And she's like, you fucking sleep half the time. May. All of you. You bitches never help out the deck. And she's like, oh, well, the truth comes out.
Yeah, Sydney's like, sorry. And Allie's like, I don't know what happened to her.
Oh, yeah, I did. Alcohol.
So Sydney's like, fine, just go to bed then. So Allie leaves. And Colin's like, why are you being so mean? And she goes, I know when I'm being a bitch and when I'm just kidding. And I'm totally fucking with her. You know, I'm so proud of myself because I finally broke someone's heart.
I mean, look, Sydney is crazy. She's a crazy person for sure. But I did sort of enjoy her kind of just laying into Allie because I was so annoyed at Allie this episode. So then it just ends with Jean-Luc and Danny just having sex in the guest room. And he's just like, oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God. Oh. And earlier when they went in there, she did say, don't break me.
Yeah, she's like, please don't break me. And that brings us to the end of Below Deck Sailing Yacht, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us today. Go get tickets for our May 6th Real Housewives of New York premiere live show on the internet. Get tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel. It's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.